الرحمن الرحيم. فلما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أبويه وقال ادخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمنين. ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا وقال يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي إن ربي لطيف لما يشاء إنه هو العليم الحكيم. رب قد آتيتني من الملك وعلمتني من تأويل الأحاديث فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت وليي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ أجمعوا أمرهم وهم يمكرون. وما أكثر الناس ولو حرصت بمؤمنين. وما تسألهم عليه من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون. وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. أفأمنوا أن تأتيهم غاشية من عذاب الله أو تأتيهم الساعة بغتة وهم لا يشعرون. قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. وما أرسلنا من قبلك إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم من أهل القرى أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم ولدار الآخرة خير للذين اتقوا أفلا تعقلون. حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وظنوا أنهم قد كذبوا جاءهم نصرنا فنجي من نشاء ولا يرد بأسنا عن القوم المجرمين لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So the brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام, they recognized and they knew the mistakes that they had committed. So they asked Yusuf for forgiveness, they asked their father for forgiveness, and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to forgive them. And Yusuf then tells them that bring all of your families back to Egypt. So the brothers told the father this message. So therefore, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ, when they returned and they entered in upon Yusuf. And the scholars of tafsir, they say that Yusuf alayhi salam, when he heard that they were coming, he left the city and he camped outside the city waiting for them to come, as the proper son should do, is that he should go outside also to meet his parents coming in. Awa ilayhi abawayhi, he took his parents close to him, he hugged them. Waqala adkhulu Misr, and he said, enter Egypt, because they were outside of Egypt, because Yusuf had gone to meet his parents outside of the city that they were in. So he said, enter Egypt, insha'Allah, amineen, in peace and in security. Warafa'a abawayhi ala al-arsh. And this is, by the way, obviously shows the proper way of welcoming elders and welcoming the parents. It is not befitting that they come all the way to Yusuf's palace. Rather, Yusuf exited the city and he encamped outside the city waiting for his parents to come. And when his parents came, he hugged them, he brought them close to himself. He brought them close to himself. And then he said, inshallah, let us enter the Masr or the Egypt, inshallah, in peace and in security. وَرَفْعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَوْشِ, and he put his parents upon the throne. Which means that literally he put them upon the throne, and also that in order to show them respect, and also that he raised them in high esteem, he put them in high esteem. And when he did that, at this point in time, وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا, all of the brothers and the parents, they fell down in prostration to Yusuf alayhi salam. And there is no problem here, because this is the sharia of those before us, and as we know, the sharia of those before us is valid as long as it is not contradicted by our sharia. However, our sharia does not allow, our law, the law that the Prophet ﷺ was given, does not allow any person to do sajda to any other person. But it was allowed in the nations before us. And that is why when Anas ibn Malik returned from from Syria and from the Roman capital, he entered in upon the Prophet ﷺ and he did sajda. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why did you do this? He said, I came from the Caesar of Rome and I saw that the people were doing sajda to him. And I felt that you are more likely, or you have more respect to do sajda to. It is more befitting that I do sajda to you than the kuffar do to the Caesars of Rome. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it is not allowed for any person to do sajda to another person, but rather had I commanded any person to do sajda to another person, I would have told the wife to do sajda to her husband because of the rights that the husband has upon her. So this hadith clearly shows that it is not allowed to do sajda to any human being, any created object. It also shows one of the fundamental principles in our belief, that it is not allowed to invent acts of worship. Any act of worship that is invented is a bid'ah. Here Anas ibn Malik and others, they were doing things that were not sanctioned by the sharia, they invented it from themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade them. So the general rule with regards to religious acts, acts of pure worship, is that they must be narrated in the Quran and Sunnah. And the general rule with regards to acts of the worldly affairs is that it is allowed unless a prohibition occurs in the Quran and Sunnah. So with regards to the deen, with regards to the religion, everything is haram. Any way to worship Allah, any way to show respect or to worship Allah or to show respect to the Prophet or anything of a religious nature, purely religious nature, is haram unless proven by the text to be halal and allowed. And when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to our daily affairs, what we eat, what we drink, how we sleep, where we go to work, everything is halal unless the Sharia prohibits it. So the two are opposite, and the Qissa of Anas also proves that. The point is, from here where we're going, is that the sajda was allowed in the previous nations, but it was not allowed, it is not allowed in this nation. So when all of his parents, both of his parents and the brothers, fell in sajda in front of him, he said, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي, he said, my dear father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, this is the ta'wil, which means the actualization over here. In this sentence, the meaning of ta'wil does not merely mean interpretation. It means the actual occurrence of my dream that I saw before. قَدَ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ, my Lord has made it a reality. He has made it a truth. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي, and He has been so gracious and kind to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ, when He took me out of the prison. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ, and he brought you from the desert. مِنْ بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي, after Shaytan caused problems between me and my brothers. This is a very beautiful passage here, where Yusuf alayhi salam, he is reaching the peak and the pinnacle of his story now, and the story will end right after this incident, that finally he is reunited with his parents after so many years, and yani, he respects his parents and he shows them honor by placing them upon a throne that was in his palace. He put them upon the throne to show them honor and respect. And when he did this, they then showed respect to Yusuf, because Yusuf alayhi salam had been preferred and had been blessed and had been exalted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they all fell in sajda to Yusuf as a sign of respect to him. And when they did this, Yusuf alayhi salam, instead of feeling any type of arrogance or pride, rather he remembers Allah's blessings and favors upon him. He remembers the dream that he saw. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thanks Allah by saying, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي, how generous he was to me, how gracious, how great he was to me, إِذْ أَخْرَجْنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ, when he caused me to exit from the prison. Now once again, look at the perfection in Yusuf's akhlaq. He does not mention what his brothers did to him and the fact that he was saved from the well. He does not mention the fact when he removed me from the well and when he saved me from the prison. He doesn't mention the well. Why? Because his brothers have been forgiven by Yusuf. And if he were to mention the well at this point in time, he is causing bad feelings in his brothers' hearts. He is causing them to feel guilty. He is causing them some pain. So in order not to cause them pain, look at the perfection of his forgiveness. Even though the saving from the well was a greater miracle than the saving from the prison. Because you're in the well, you're cut off from food and water and light and mankind. At least in the prison, you have your food, you have your water, you have other people there. So he doesn't mention the well. And look, subhanAllah, at his pure heart, at the forgiveness that he has. So as not to cause his brothers any anguish and pain by remembering what they had done to him. So he doesn't even mention it. So he says, and how gracious and how kind has Allah been to me when He saved me from the prison. And he doesn't mention the well. And he also mentions another favor, وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ, He has taken you out of the desert. And this is also a great favor, because the desert dwellers have a very difficult life. They do not have adequate food and water. Usually they are very hungry because the food is dependent upon what you catch and what you physically pull out from the plants. Whereas if you're in the city, it's much easier. And the blessings of the city are obviously greater than the blessings of the desert. So this is also a great blessing that Yusuf mentions, that he has brought you from the desert to me here in Egypt. After, مِنْ بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي, after Shaytan caused problems between me and my brothers. Again, look at how gently he reminds them of the favors of Allah upon all of them. And he doesn't blame his brothers. He says, after Shaytan caused problems between my brothers and I. Once again, look at his perfection of akhlaq. He doesn't say, after what my brothers did to me, or after they tried to do this to me, or after the incident of my brothers. No. He mentions Shaytan first. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانِ. So Shaytan is the culprit here. After Shaytan has caused problems between me and my brother, subhanAllah, is as if he is saying both of the parties are guilty. I was guilty and my brothers were guilty. Look how he says it. Me and my brother, my brothers and I. And he mentions himself first. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Whereas Yusuf was faultless, sinless with regards to anything to do with his brothers. He didn't do a single crime towards them. But again, look at his humility. And look at the perfection of his forgiveness towards his brothers. It is as if he is taking the blame upon himself as well. It's 50-50. And really, it was Shaytan that caused the problem between me and my brothers. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Verily, my Lord is latif, which means that he has gentleness and kindness. And it also means he is aware of the intricate details. Latif has two primary meanings to it. لِمَا يَشَاءُ, to whatever he wills. So latif, he is gentle and kind. And latif, he is well aware of the intricate details, of the hidden details of everything. لِمَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the alim, the all-knowledgeable. Whatever he did was based upon his knowledge. And Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, whatever he did was based upon wisdom as well. Therefore we see that in the end, after all of these trials and tribulations, Yusuf alayhi salam was given the highest honor and the highest status. All of his brothers and sisters and his parents, all of his brothers and parents, they did sajda to him, showing the status of Yusuf over them. And that is why we said the Prophet ﷺ said the most noble person in terms of lineage is Yusuf alayhi salam, the Prophet, the son of the Prophet, the son of the Prophet, the son of the Prophet. So he has reached the peak of nobility in this regard, that he has three prophets before him as his parents and ancestors, and he himself is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows you that in the end, Allah's plan and Allah's will indeed succeed, that the one who has iman, the one who has taqwa, the one who has sabr, he will taste the fruits of his efforts in this dunya and in the akhirah. And this is, remember, the whole point of the story, to console the Prophet ﷺ, you will indeed be victorious, and it is very, very perfect that when this story is revealed, and the Prophet ﷺ is at one of the lowest points, if you like, in the seerah, he uses this very verse of the Qur'an, لَا تَثْرِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, when he reaches the peak of his seerah, when he is conquering Makkah. The conqueror of Makkah, the same city that has kicked him out, has tortured him, has tried to kill him and his companions, he uses this same surah when he says, when he recites to the people of Makkah, like we said in the last lecture, لَا تَثْرِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. The same forgiveness that Yusuf showed to his brothers, the Prophet ﷺ also showed to the people of Makkah. At this point in time, some of the ulama say that the brothers also became prophets. Okay, and Allah knows best, we cannot say for certain. Some of the ulama, they use the verses in the Qur'an which mention the asbaat, or the tribes. And they say that the asbaat, the reference here is to the 12 brothers of Ya'qub, so that all of them were prophets. And some ulama say, no, they were not prophets. And really, we cannot say for certain either way, because we don't have any other explicit information about them. So Allah knows best, did they become prophets or not. Rabbi قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Now he mentions the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. And look, he is mentioning the blessings of Allah. And this is a sign of iman. He doesn't mention the hardships that occurred to him. He doesn't mention the trials and the tribulations that he had to face. No, he only mentions the good things. And this is the way of the mu'min. All good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all evil that occurs is because of our own sins and because of our own selves. This is the way of the mu'min. So now that he is thanking Allah, and this yet is another sign of iman, that you thank Allah for all the blessings that he has given you. You thank Allah for all the blessings he has given you. And you mention them by name. Alhamdulillah, who has guided me to Islam. Alhamdulillah, who has mentioned, or who has given me family and children. Alhamdulillah. And you mention the blessings of Allah, so you remind yourself of these blessings, and you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. So he says, Rabbi, O my Lord. And you know that the word Rabbi, the name Rabbi, is the most common name that is used in the du'as of the Quran and the Sunnah. The name of Allah, Ar-Rabb, is the most common name that is used in the Quran when it comes to du'as. Any du'a in the Quran and Sunnah, majority of the time you will find the word Rabb, because the Rabb is a very comprehensive term. Very comprehensive term. It means the one who is my owner, my Lord, my Master, the one who created me. It also means the one who is in charge of my affairs. And from this we get the tarbiyah. The root tarbiyah is also from the same, that he is in charge of my affairs. Okay, the Master, the owner, the creator. Another meaning of Rabb is the creator, the originator. So by reminding yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, this in and of itself brings you optimism. Allah is the one that brought me out of nothing from here. He is the one that created me. He is the one that is in charge of all of my affairs. He is the one that gives me every morsel that I eat and every drink that I sip. He is my Rabb, who is in charge of making sure that I have everything I need. Therefore, when you raise your hands up to Allah, you say, Ya Rabbi, because He is your Rabb. He is the one that will give you all of your needs. That is part of his rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, the du'as of the kafir are responded to, just like the du'as of the mu'min. It is possible that Allah responds to the du'a of the kafir, because he calls out with the rububiyyah of Allah. And that is why the du'a of the mushrikun, when they were in the ocean and the waves are coming to drown them, Allah would respond to their du'as. They would make their du'as to Allah, and Allah would respond to their du'as. So it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to the du'a of the kafir, especially if he invokes the rububiyyah of Allah. Because Allah is Rabb of the Muslim, just like he is Rabb of the kafir. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even responded to the du'a of Iblis, la'anahu Allah. the most accursed, the most evil of the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua when Iblis himself said, رَبِّ أَنْظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Iblis himself says, oh my Rabb. He made tawassul with the same name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my Rabb, let me live until the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua, قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. He said, you will be given this respite, you will be given this time until the day of judgment. So if even the dua of Iblis can be responded to, do you think that my dua and your dua has less of a chance of being responded to than the dua of Iblis? So do not give up hope of responsive dua. And learn from the stories of Ya'qub and Yusuf. So many years separated from each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually responds to du'as by reuniting them. And when this occurs, Yusuf remembers. And Yusuf thanks Allah for all of these blessings. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Oh my Lord, you have given me the command, because he was the minister now of Egypt. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And you have taught me the interpretation of dreams. And we said another tafsir of this is that you have taught me the knowledge of the book. فاطر السماوات والأرض, the originator of the heavens and earth. فاطر means to create out of nothing, to create out of nothing, to originate, okay, to break out forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. He يعني, brought them out of nothing. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. You are my protector in this dunya and in the akhirah. توفني مسلما, cause me to die as a Muslim. وألحقني بالصالحين, and make me amongst the righteous. Make me amongst the righteous in this dunya and in the akhirah. Here we find one of the etiquettes of dua, and that is to perform tawassul, which means you try to come closer to Allah and make sure that your dua gets responded to. And this is referred to as tawassul. And one of the most important ways of tawassul is to mention the names and attributes of Allah. So here Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioning Rabb, and he is mentioning Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard, and then he is saying Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-Akhirah. So he is making tawassul with Allah with these names and attributes, and this is something very common also in the Prophet Sunnah. Once a person made a dua and without saying anything, he said, oh my Lord, give me this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, verily this man has been hasty. When one of you makes a dua, let him start off by praising Allah and sending salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, and then let him ask for his deed, or for his wants. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told us that when we make a dua, there's an etiquette. We start off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we especially use those names and attributes which are related to what we want. So if we want to be forgiven, we say, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Tawwab, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. If we want to get rizq, we say, Ya Razzaq, Ya Arhamur Rahimin, you know my state and I need your rizq assistance. Whatever it is that we desire, okay, we can always find in the names and attributes of Allah those names and attributes which are befitting and are more appropriate for the dua. And this is a part of the etiquette of dua, to use those names and attributes. So Yusuf alayhi salam mentions one of the most comprehensive attributes of Allah, that he created Yusuf and the heavens and the earth. فاطر السماوات والأرض. By mentioning the grandeur and the majesty of Allah, then Yusuf alayhi salam says, فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. You are my protector. So this is a statement of fact, and it is a dua at the same time. This is a statement of fact and a dua at the same time. So he's saying أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. You are my protector in this dunya and in the akhirah. And look how true it is. We have now finished the story of Yusuf. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Yusuf from the beginning of the story until the end. When his brothers tried to kill him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to have another plan, and that is to throw him into the well. And when they threw him into the well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the caravan. And when he was sold into slavery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him by making him chosen by one of the most highest and prestigious and most luxurious houses in the kingdom. And when the wife tried to tempt him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from falling into evil, and he went to the prison, and even though it was a prison, it was still a saving for Yusuf. Because had he fallen into that sin, it would have been a worse prison for him in the akhirah. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that. And once in the prison as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him by causing him to stay there a few years. Because had he released him immediately, Yusuf would not have become the minister of Egypt. But he stayed there a few years until the king himself saw the dream, and all of the ministers could not respond to that dream. So Yusuf's superiority was immediately proven over everyone else present. And once again, yani, he was so successful that even the neighboring cities, the neighboring countries would send their delegations in order to get food from Yusuf alayhi salam, and finally now he is being reunited with his brothers and his mother and father. So this shows you that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector in this dunya and the akhirah, but Allah is only the protector for those who believe. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali or the protector for those who have iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The awliya of Allah, the awliya of Allah, those whom Allah has protected, they will neither fear nor will they worry. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who had iman, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they had taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After saying all of this, Yusuf alayhi salam then makes the dua, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. Cause me to die as a Muslim. Cause me to die in a state of Islam. Cause me to die while my will and my soul, while my heart and my body have submitted themselves to your worship. Once here, look at the iman of Yusuf alayhi salam. He has gone through so much, yet he is not sure of the future. He has gone through so much and Allah has saved him from so many trials and tribulations. Yet he is saying, oh Allah, let me die in the state of Islam because I don't know what the end result will be. And that is what really counts. And this also should be our dua all the time. And also we say this in the dua of the janazah also. Allahumma tawaffana, Allahumma ahina bil Islam wa tawaffana bil Iman. Is that cause us to live in a state of Islam and cause us to die in the state of Iman. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we die, we are in a state of Islam and a state of Iman, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls our time of death. Only Allah knows it, and we wish to die in the state of Islam. We know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is possible that a person does the deeds of the people of Jannah until there is nothing left between him and death except a handspan. Then he turns around and he starts doing the deeds of the people of the fire of hell until he dies in that state and enters the fire of hell. And there's another person who does the deeds of the people of the fire of hell until there's nothing left between him and death except the handspan. And he changes and he starts doing the deeds of the people of Jannah until he becomes of the people of Jannah. So the death, the time of death is the time that is really important. That is the time that will be the criterion. If we are mu'mineen, if we are muslimin, at the time of death, inshaAllah, that is our greatest chance of success. And if, wal'iyadu billah, we are evil and we are yani, not practicing, or even worse than that, then our time of death is what is crucial. And the ulama say that it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person's death will come to him and while he is doing the things that he loves, while he is most engrossed in the things that he loves. Okay, so if a person loves the recitation of the Quran, loves salah, loves fasting, inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him and bless him with death while he is doing these good deeds. And if a person loves evil and loves ludity and loves fahisha, then wal'iyadu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with death at a very evil and at a very bad time. And that is why we always ask Allah for thabat, we always ask Allah for firmness, we always ask that He raises us in a state of Islam and He grants us a very, very good death, and that our last words be la ilaha illallah in this life. So this is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We find in this dua of his many benefits here. Firstly, the affirmation of tawheed. The affirmation of Tawheed. Secondly, the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that he is showing his submission to Allah. Okay, طبعاً, this is clear here. The affirmation of Tawheed is his rububiyyah, and the submission to Allah is tawaffani muslimin. Thirdly, the showing of his need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making the dua to him. So Yusuf shows his poverty to Allah. Even though he has reached such a high level, he does not forget that in reality nothing occurs except by the will and the permission of Allah. So he shows his own poverty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, he shows that he is only attached to Allah. His heart is only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning Allah in his good and in the bad things as well. He thanks Allah for saving him from that. So he thanks Allah for the blessings and also from saving him from the evil deeds or from the bad situations. So he shows that his heart is only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifthly, he shows that dying in Islam is one of the most noble goals and one of the most important du'as that we can make. And lastly, he is showing through this du'a of his that the power and the la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no power nor is there anything that can be changed except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this beautiful du'a, the story of Yusuf itself is completed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ. This is of the knowledge of the unseen. نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. We inspire it to you. مَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. You were not with them, with the brothers. إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. When they gathered together, وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. And they were plotting and planning. Remember this ayah, we talked about one of the reasons that this surah was revealed, that the Jews tried to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, we talked about this the first day, where the Jews went to the mushrikeen and they said, test this Prophet and ask him about the story of Yusuf and his brothers. If he cannot respond to you, then he is a false prophet because he doesn't know about his own brothers in prophethood. And if he comes to us secretly trying to get some knowledge from us, we will expose him because we have the knowledge of this. And the mushrikun and the Arabs do not have the knowledge of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah and then he says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ. This is of the knowledge of the unseen. We inspire it to you. You did not know it. You were not there. You have no access to this knowledge. In other words, this story is a proof of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the stories of the Quran. These stories were not known to the Arabs of the Prophet's time. They were not known to the mushrikun. They were not known to the society and culture. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking them as they occurred. Therefore, this is one of the greatest signs which the Quran frequently uses to prove the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, in the story of Musa in Surah Al-Qasas, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَ إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرِ. You were not on the western side of the mount when we inspired to Musa. وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Nor did you witness it. You were not there, O Muhammad. Likewise, you were not here when the brothers gathered to plot against Yusuf. But this is one of the miracles of Allah, one of the clearest testimonies to the fact that he is really a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that it is so clear, despite the fact his prophethood has been proven from every single angle and from every single perspective. Allah says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ. Yet most of mankind, وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ. Even if you are eager to be mu'mineen, will not be believers. So despite the fact that the proofs of your prophethood are so clear, the majority of mankind will not accept your prophethood. They will not believe in you, even though you have an eagerness for them.